We want to stay with the issue of the ANC and MK because we just think it's that important, right? So let's get another take on that. If you remember, the ANC now confirming they will appeal the judgment of the High Court in Durban, which dismissed with costs the governing party's application to challenge the Imkhonto we Sizwe party's name and logo, right? So that's that. Now, what does this really mean again? To get another take on this one, with let's speak to Lukona Nguni, who's a political analyst. Lukona, I appreciate your time. We finally chat on air. Hi.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Ashraf. And good afternoon to you and to your listeners.
Thank you. Now, I mean, I don't know where to start. We could actually have a one-hour conversation about this. We don't, of course, right? You know that. So we've spoken about the trademarks earlier and you know, the ANC lost that, lost the case, but they can't appeal.
Yeah.
Where do you want to zone in on this? Like, what for you is the big takeout so far?
Well, I suppose the big takeout in this whole saga, which I think Fikile Mbalula alluded to during the press briefing earlier today, is the fact that Jacob Zuma is still a member of the ANC. He's suspended, yes, but he's still a member. He's not expelled. And that's why Mbalula quipped and said, when he now hold an urgent meeting of the ANC to expel Zuma, then the narrative would be 1, 2, 3. But I think, they've postponed quite the inevitable, at least from the MK party universe. What we've been told is that they've amended their own constitution to submit it to the IEC to make Zuma the leader of MK party. And I do think that it spells quite a difficult place the ANC finds itself. I don't think it's just only a fight. I think at first it was a fight, an attempted fight to keep Zuma out of the ballot and the MK party out of the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And given that we are now, about 37 days to the elections, I don't think that is anywhere near possible anymore. And I do think that the ANC needs to think of a different political strategy. I often say, Ashraf, in politics, legal warfare is not the best way to solve political problems.
Why is that the case?
The legal route tends to also find a way to amplify the voice of your opponent. And I think that in terms of media coverage, the ANC's opposition to MK party, whether it's on this trademark issue, whether it's on their registration with the IEC at the electoral court, has really given MK party airtime that they wouldn't ordinarily have. And it has still not solved the political problem, which is that the ANC is being contested and contested heavily with the assistance of its former president.
Well, we spoke about airplanes early on and airplanes being grounded because of, bad tires, right? But here's the thing. There was a suggestion even a few weeks ago that, in fact, the longer the ANC contests with the MK in court, the longer that people like myself and you have to reflect it and give it airtime, the longer we actually provide a runway for a very, very new party in terms of brand awareness. And they've succeeded in doing just that, isn't it?
No, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. You give your opponent significant airtime than they would ordinarily get had you not taken certain strategic roles. Whether the ANC, one speaks to various people, and the ANC may well have a case, Ashraf, insofar as saying, look, Mkhonto we Sizwe is our heritage, it's founded within us. But again, one of the questions I keep posing to some of the ANC ecosystem is, what would the ANC do if somebody founded a political party named Oliver Tambo?
And so
this idea about liberation heritage and struggle heritage being a preserve of one entity when the benefits have accrued to a mass population, as it has in South Africa, even to populations of those who were oppressors, how do you then navigate that space, and how do you intellectually property that resource without facing the idea that it's also in part, a public good and available to as many people? And one of the things, Ashraf, I've found quite interesting, because I must admit to you and your listeners that I have been following MK Party quite keenly and closely, because I've just been intrigued at their usage of political language, political rhetoric, political propaganda. Is that some of the pull-up banners in some MK events have the MK logo, and they've got the face of Chrysalis, and they've got the face of Oliver Tambo.
Have they? Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And that's because the MK Party, Ashraf, is trying to locate itself within the ANC ecosystem. So what it is trying to do is that it says the ANC is not the problem, and therefore we've got to find a home that is as relatable as possible to the ANC without necessarily leaving the ANC. And then when the bad apples who are corrupting and impugning the image of the ANC are gone, we will return to the ANC model it in our own vision.
I suppose, put it another way, they would say that this ANC is not the ANC of our founders, and therefore your examples of the images they're using that may go back a good few decades, in fact, is part of them being custodians of the real ANC, and they will come to the fore when it matters. Yeah, can you argue against that?
No, absolutely. I mean, Ashraf, they're not even saying this ANC, because I know you are on Twitter as much as I am, because I see your traffic there.
Yeah.
you know, sometimes what trends on Twitter is ANC of Ramaphosa.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the MK universe has been able to do with its propaganda. It's not even about this ANC. It's about the ANC currently led by Ramaphosa is a problem. And in the research that I do, I actually conducted a focus group. And in the group were two ANC, previous ANC voters. One was now a disaffected ANC voter, so she was no longer keen to vote for the ANC. And as a result of that, she had abandoned the idea of voting for the ANC. But she says when MK surfaced, she felt that it would be amiss for the ANC to be taken out of power by the very people that had eroded the ANC in terms of the public eye and the voters. So she returned to become a voter for the ANC again. Across her was a gentleman who was saying he would vote for the MK, but he was quite clear to her to say, no, if Ramaphosa was to leave as president, I'd come back to the ANC and vote for the ANC. So I think that what has happened here, the MK phenomenon is what I call now, Ashraf, an externalization of factionalism. So the factions are no longer playing themselves internally. The factions are playing themselves externally, and it might well be an attempt to embarrass Ramaphosa to say he is the first ANC president to lose an outright majority for the ANC.
But in terms of the external ANC, I mean, one can use the same example in terms of the EFF. You don't have to comment on them now, but I mean, that's another example. Let's just then talk about this year, right? So at this point in time, with just over a month to the election, how much of a problem, and I say problem in inverted commas, how much of a problem is the MK party to the ANC's battle and strategy to hold on to a 50+1 majority no matter what?
Well, Ashraf, let me in passing also touch on the earlier point. So MK does not position itself as a breakaway of the ANC. It positions itself as almost a core renewal and whatever project of the ANC, in the sense that, so you can't compare it with the mannerism of the PAC breaking away in the 1950s, of the UDM in 1996, of COPE in 2009, of the EFF in 2014. And this is why I'm saying I'm very captivated as a political scientist by MK, and I'm trying to study them quite properly. Not because I like Jacob Zuma, but because there's something intriguing in their repertoire in terms of how they are doing politics. Now, how much of a threat are they? Politics is a game of numbers, Ashraf. And the truth is that in KZN, I think the ANC is under severe pressure because of the emergence of MK. And I think this is why we are seeing such a high circulation of President Ramaphosa in KwaZulu-Natal. He was out in Amaoti. He was out, I think, somewhere around Stenga, attracting some Indian voters and so on. If you were to think, how many times has Ramaphosa been back to KwaZulu-Natal since the manifesto launch of the party in February? It's actually been quite what I call during an election season, high circulation and high visibility. They are trying very hard to create high circulation and high visibility. And you will remember, Ashraf, the first rally that the MK party held in KwaZulu-Natal was in Ward 1 in eThekwini, KwaZimba. Since then, the ANC has attempted two mega community rallies in that community. And in the last one, last week, when Ramaphosa was leaving the community, we saw visuals of throngs of MK party members and supporters standing on the road and really chanting him away and singing songs.
Okay, wow.
So the point I'm making is that we can already detect in the ANC's election strategy that MK is a threat, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, and that's why they are creating high circulation for Ramaphosa.
Okay.
What I think lastly, the ANC is neglecting and have not been seeing is its visibility in Mpumalanga province, which I think is another interesting province to watch.
I will certainly pick up on that. Here's the last thing in 20 seconds, okay? With regard to the MK party, who is the master strategist of the MK party? Who is the special one?
I actually think there is a backroom of operators. We will soon find out after the elections as having been the master strategist.
Okay.
It's definitely not Jacob Zuma. It's not Khumalo. And I think there's an interesting backroom there that we must tap into after the election.
And since you're doing focus groups on just them, well, I certainly want to know all about it. Appreciate your time. Fascinating conversation with Lukona Mguni, who's a political analyst. We'll put that up as a podcast ASAP. And in fact, to take that story further, we'll replay the voice notes of Fikile Mbalula in terms of his comments and get another comment on exactly what that really means around intellectual property and trademark.